It is time for Minnesota Military Radio, brought to you in part by Cargill, providing food, agriculture, financial, and industrial products and services to the world. Cargill, helping the world thrive.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll talk to the two top sergeants for the Minnesota Army and Air National Guard, and we'll get an update from The Mission Continues. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
The Minnesota National Guard has long trained for emergency contingencies when civilian authorities call us for help. We have trained for severe flooding, out-of-control fires, and search and rescue missions. But there is a new threat our soldiers and airmen are training for now. One of my top priorities is to increase the National Guard's capacity to combat cyber warfare. Cyber warfare is internet-based conflict involving attacks on information and information systems. Cyber attacks can disable official websites and networks, disrupt or disable essential services, steal or alter classified data, and cripple our financial systems. The Minnesota National Guard has full-time staff whose job it is to track cyber issues and keep us ahead of a cyber attack. We have also identified traditional drilling soldiers within our force who are capable of being called up to fight a cyber attack or a cyber-triggered traditional emergency. Such an emergency would require a coordinated response among several agencies and levels of government. We are working with other state, local, and federal agencies to develop these relationships and to establish plans for execution for various scenarios. I am proud to tell you that the Department of Military Affairs conducts cyber response rehearsals annually and is consistently preparing to address cyber warfare in Minnesota head-on.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Sergeant Major, welcome back to the show.
Hello, Tom. Great to be here with you again.
Sergeant Major, when I think about the Minnesota Air and Army National Guard, the first thing that comes to my mind isn't cybersecurity, but now that the boss has been talking about that on today's show, that's more and more important, isn't it?
It absolutely is. You know, absolutely something that we ought to always keep in mind, regardless of whether you're serving or not. It's something that affects everybody across this country, of course, here in Minnesota as well.
And I'm sure that impacts your recruiting in the Army National Guard and even on the air side, but you need that expertise to come into the Minnesota National Guard as well.
We sure do, and we are looking for those potential recruits, soldiers, or airmen that bring that unique skill set to our organization to fill the need that we're going to have in the cyber arena.
So when you're out there recruiting, and I know we're going to have Lieutenant Colonel Pasternak on in a few weeks, he's going to talk about diversity in the force, but you're also going to talk about these new areas where you need some new expertise to come in so that we can be current and at the top of our game.
Absolutely, because we have to sell what it is that we need. And, of course, educate the public on what it is that we need so they can help us fill the need. Because, after all, it is their National Guard, the Minnesota's National Guard.
And reflects the people of Minnesota.
Yes, it does. And that's one of the things I want to be able to talk to you about today is this initiative that the recruiting command has put together. You know, oftentimes you ask me about why it is that I joined and what maybe advice would be that I'd give to someone thinking about joining the Minnesota National Guard. So through the efforts of our recruiting battalion, Colonel Pasternak's team, they put together this publication. It's going to be put out annually, and it's called Who's Who in the Minnesota National Guard. And it's a snapshot of a few of the recruits who have joined our Minnesota National Guard. It gives a little bit of history about them and really why it is that they joined. And our listening audience can find that if they go to our Minnesota National Guard website and look in the About Us section, and they'll be able to see that publication. It's digital, and of course, I've got a hard copy that I brought in for you today. The other unique thing is I can tell you why I joined, but that was almost 30 years ago. The other initiative is something that's called In Their Words, and the recruiting command has put this together so we can actually hear from the voices of those who have just enlisted into our National Guard. It's called In Their Own Words. And today I want to just play a quick clip for you from a Private Chimbo who joined our infantry battalion and Private Dietz, who joined our combined arms battalion.
I decided to join the Minnesota National Guard to prepare myself physically and mentally for my future career in psychology, and so also I can be a role model for my family.
I wanted to make a difference in the world, and I thought joining the Minnesota National Guard was the best option for me.
So that's just a snippet, and this is out on the Minnesota National Guard's YouTube channel as well, so you can actually see the video lining up with just not the voices. You see the faces of these real people, real young recruits who have joined our National Guard. And this has been so successful for the Minnesota National Guard that starting next month, they're also going to start putting, in their own words, a parent edition. So now we can hear from the parents of these people to talk about, for these new recruits, that is, to talk about why it is that, you know, they feel or support their son or daughter that has joined the National Guard. So just a neat initiative.
So, Sergeant Major, did you join so that you could have one of those Sergeant Major haircuts high and tight?
That was the last thing that I was thinking about when I joined, but then I just kind of grew into it.
Because some of these recruits in this magazine look like they're gonna get a new haircut when they get to basic training.
Yes, they will. There might be an awakening, if you will, when they get to basic training, but we don't want to ruin the surprise for anybody.
Sergeant Major, you've got a special guest with you today.
I sure do. It's my great pleasure to introduce the 12th Air National Guard Command Chief for the Minnesota Air National Guard, Paul Kessler. You know, we've interviewed and talked to Chief Gary Luke, who retired recently. And so we have the great honor to have Paul Kessler here with us today and to introduce himself and talk a little bit about himself.
Chief, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Sergeant Major.
Always nice to have somebody from the air side in the studio, sir. We've talked about this before. Sergeant Major comes in here with all his soldiers, but we've got to have some airmen in here once in a while, so I hope you come back.
I'd love to. Air power.
Chief, can you tell us a little bit about your career? How long have you been in the Air Force?
I've been in the Air Force for 34 years.
And you started out active duty?
I started out active duty. Did a tour in Okinawa, Japan in the 80s. And after that, I was back at Nellis. I was stationed out at Indian Springs. It's a detachment outside of Nellis Air Force Base out in the middle of the desert. And from there, I Pallas Chased, which is a program that where you transition from active duty directly into the Air National Guard. And I was a member of the 210th EIS, which is a electronic installation organization out at the St. Paul International Airport. From there, I transitioned into the full-time force. So I was a traditional guardsman while I was part of the 210th EIS. And I'm full-time out there now as the command chief.
And that's the top senior enlisted NCO for the Air National Guard.
For the Air National Guard at the state of Minnesota.
So you're involved with both the 148th up in Duluth and the 133rd here in Minneapolis.
Yes, I am.
So does that keep you on the road a little bit?
It does. I'm just transitioning into the role. And I'm super excited about working more closely with my friends up in Duluth. Worked with them quite a bit over the last decade or so. And I plan to be up there at least on a monthly basis.
Well, Chief, for our listeners, can you tell us what does a Command Chief Master Sergeant do?
So a Command Chief Master Sergeant spends most of their time working with the senior officers of the organization, advising them on conditions for the enlisted force, their growth, the training, the concerns you might have about things that that are affecting them doing the mission. And I also work a lot on the development for them, their education, their training, the requirements that they have to do to better serve the organization.
So, Chief, I have to ask you this. I've had some soldiers on the show before, and I asked them, what happens if you get called to the Command Sergeant Major's office? Is that good or bad, or are you nervous? And they said they're always nervous. So if I get a call and I have to go to the Command Chief Master Sergeant's office, is that good or bad?
They do come in a little nervous frequently, and I usually try to put them at ease right away. Normally, it's always a positive thing. I spend a lot of time in mentorship and development of the folks.
And for our listeners, approximately how many airmen do we have at each of those bases?
So total airmen at the 133rd is about 1,200, and about 950 of those are enlisted. And up in Duluth, there's a total of about 1,000 airmen, with about 800 of them being enlisted.
So are you full? Do you have room for new recruits?
We historically have been very full. We have usually more folks that want to join our organization than can. But that's a good problem to have. But we always have room for talented people.
So if you get a few too many, you send them over to the Sergeant Major's office.
We do.
All right.
And we try not to scare them away from my office.
Gentlemen, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Air National Guard in Minnesota with the Command Chief Master Sergeant Paul Kessler and with our Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham and Command Chief Master Sergeant Paul Kessler about life in the Army and Air National Guard here in Minnesota. And Chief, you just took over the spot as Command Chief Master Sergeant for the Air National Guard, which includes the 148th Fighter Wing in Duluth and the 133rd here in Minneapolis. Can you tell us your first 100 days? Is that like the president's first 100 days? You got big plans, things you want to accomplish?
I do have big plans. I don't know if it's on the scale of the president, but I definitely have big plans. I'm going to work on four main areas over the next 100 days, and then, of course, throughout my tenure as the state command chief. The first is diversifying our force, and that is a complex issue for the Air National Guard because even for a lot of listeners today, there's probably a lot of folks that don't know about the Air National Guard. When they hear National Guard, they think Army National Guard. And we want to try and get that message out a little bit more. We don't have a big footprint out in the community for recruiting. We don't have storefronts, that type of thing in the state of Minnesota. So we need to get the word out that the Minnesota Air National Guard does exist. In Duluth, the 148th Fighter Wing, it's definitely a more prominent player up there. It's a bigger employer than it is in St. Paul. The St. Paul unit is pretty much a small fish in a very large pool. So we want to get our word out to environment schools, predominantly in the urban schools, get the word out there that we exist. Most of our recruits come from family members or people that were in active duty Air Force, like myself.
So on the air side, you're trying to accomplish the same goals that the Adjutant General wants for the Army side, is to have all of your airmen reflect the diversity that we have here in Minnesota.
Absolutely.
A little tougher to do when we got a waiting line of people trying to get in.
It can be a little tougher, but I think we can do it.
All right, sir. Number two?
Number two, I want to, and this is an ongoing challenge in society, definitely promote respect and dignity of all of our members. You know, in this cyber world that we live in now, everyone's on their phone constantly, and they're saying and doing things that they may not or should not do in uniform. And we want to make sure that those boundaries are well known within our organization, and that people understand that we treat our folks with respect and dignity. You know, it's the old golden rule: treat people the way you want to be treated. You know, how would you want your sister or your mom or your brother or your dad to be treated?
Chief, I'm curious, when I got out of the Air National Guard decades ago, we didn't have cell phones. Have they made things a little more complicated on a day-to-day basis today, or is that good?
It's good, and it's a little more difficult. It's hard to keep tabs on people to know what they're doing. You know, when they're working in a cube or they're working on the flight line, they're working in the back shops, and it's hard to know exactly what they're up to. Back in the old days, you gather them in a little bit more. You can talk to them as a group. It's a little easier. The attention spans might have been there.
Didn't have as many distractions back then.
Not as many distractions. But on the other hand, they are very ingenious. They use that technology to get things done as well. So they, just talking to a guy yesterday, when you don't know something, you may not have to ask the sergeant or someone around you. You look on Google and find it on there.
Look it up and find your answers and keep going.
There you go.
What's next, sir?
All right. Number three, professionalize the force. Our senior NCO Corps is extremely busy, and a lot of them have worked their entire careers to perfect their skill set. So they might be fixing engines on aircraft, or they're doing a carpentry job. Whatever their role is, they've become a master of that role. My job is to really work with them to really focus on that leadership piece and know that if the people that work for them, if they succeed, that should be their primary goal. They should be looking at developing their airmen below them.
So put all your people in a position to succeed and give them the training necessary to get it done and get it done soon.
Absolutely.
All right.
And finally, mentorship. And that one's kind of a two-pronged approach as well. We have a very strong history of what I would call coaching of our members, and that is the senior members will work with the junior members on their careers and a lot of times in their lives too, their personal space, and help them grow as people. And that's one of the great benefits. We work together for years and years, and we coach each other to become better airmen and citizens. The mentorship piece is a little different in my mind, and that is where you professionally and purposefully bring people in that maybe are disinterested in your career because they're not in your chain of command. They're not in your shop. They might be from somewhere else on the base. We want to bring them in to mentor people and give them a different perspective maybe on their career or their life. I personally have spent hours and hours in that arena, but in the formal mentorship process, I've had four mentees that I've worked with that aren't in my chain of command directly in the past, and worked really in their private lives a lot too, in their family life, how to balance school and kids and a spouse and their part-time job with us.
So your traditional guardsmen are there 2 days a week or 2 days a month, and in between, a lot of things can happen at home with family and work and school and all those things going on, and you want their focus and attention when they're out there.
We do.
But sometimes they're distracted by personal issues as well.
They absolutely are, and we know them well. That we've, in a lot of cases, we've known these folks for 10, 20 years.
Sergeant Major, his focuses in those four areas sound pretty similar to some things you've been talking about with me for a couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this is the way it works at the level that we get to. Of course, everything that we do has to support what our boss wants. And the direction that, in this case, of course, the Adjutant General wants to take our organization. So when I spoke about my 100-day plan and my goals through my tenure now with Chief Kessler, we aren't doing our job if our goals don't nest in with what the organizational goals are. And professionalization of our force, the mentorship, of course, diversity, all that stuff is extremely important for our organization to set us up as an organization for success down the road.
So, Chief, we've had the Sergeant Major on the show quite a few times, and he's talked about every kind of issue you can think about, from suicide prevention to sexual issues to all of those things. Does the Air National Guard have as much training in those areas as the soldiers get to try to make them aware of what's expected and to let them know that you've got people there to help if they're having an issue?
We do. The name of the game for us is training, just like with the Army National Guard. Whether those things are directly happening in the organization or not, we train to those because we want our folks to be ready if and when those things happen.
So does the Sergeant Major come over and talk to your airmen once in a while?
He does. He came in and outlined his 100-day plan here a year and a half ago, and it was very well received. It's nice to work together. We call it working purple.
Did those airmen know what a Sergeant Major was, sir?
Well, they do now. You know, Tom, one thing I do want to make sure we explain to the audience, too, is when we talk about the issues and the training that the Army gets, the Air gets, the resources that we pool together and try to make available to all of our service members is just that, for all of our service members. So we don't exclude someone because they're not in the Army or not in the Air Force. We want to help our Minnesota National Guard soldiers and airmen to be the best soldiers and airmen they can possibly be. So we want to make sure all resources are available to everybody.
Sergeant Major, I think things have changed a little bit in the last 30, 40 years, but when I was with the 133rd, we never saw the Army for the whole time I was there. But now there's some crossover, and you do help each other, and it is one Minnesota National Guard, isn't it?
It absolutely is, and we've started now. This will be the fourth year where we get together as a large group with all of our senior leaders to talk about some of these topics that we've already discussed today so that we can share experiences across the two branches of the military and continue to help and support each other.
Chief Kessler, we just got about a minute left. You've had a great long career, and now you're the top sergeant in the Air National Guard of Minnesota. For our listeners in 39 stations all over the state, if anyone was thinking about joining the Air National Guard, what would you have to say to them?
I'd say to them exactly what I say to my own nieces and nephews that have joined the Minnesota Air National Guard. We will put, as an Air National Guard, as much effort into you as you put into you. And I personally will guarantee you that we will do everything we can to develop you as a person, as a citizen, and make you a better employee for your potential employer.
Thank you, Chief. Sergeant Major, we just got a few seconds left. Any final thoughts?
I just want to say thank you. It's great to see the show expanded to 39 stations now, and I look forward to the next couple of years here with Chief Kessler, and look forward to getting him in more often to the studio to spend some time with you and your listening audience.
Sergeant Major, you can bring airmen in with you anytime you want. I'm happy to see him. And,
sounds
of course,
good.
For our listeners, they all know I was in the Air Force and the Air National Guard, so I'm
absolutely
a little bit biased, but not much.
Gentlemen,
great. Thanks for joining us today.
All right, Tom. Have a wonderful day. Thanks again.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham and Command Chief Master Sergeant Paul Kessler on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we'll get an update from The Mission Continues. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to get an update from The Mission Continues. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
The 2017 legislative session. Relationships on both sides of the aisle continue as we work together to better serve our state's heroes. We thank all those involved in the process for their leadership and commitment in improving the lives of veterans and their families. As a country and as a state, we have made certain commitments to our veterans. It's important that we keep good on those promises. To stay up to date on federal and state legislative updates, visit MinnesotaVeteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now from The Mission Continues is Lee Freeman. Lee, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure and honor to be back.
Lee, it's been a while since you've been here, and I know you're a veteran. Can you tell us a little bit about your service to country?
Yes, I was on active duty from 89 to 04 in the U.S. Air Force, so I think you can appreciate that.
Another Air Force, another airman in the studio. It's a good day.
Go blue.
Well, we better take it easy on that. Sergeant Ben's still here. So.
Okay.
And you were in for quite a while. Can you tell us a little bit about where you served and what you did?
Yeah, I served North Dakota, various places in the U.S., did an overseas tour in Okinawa. I was in the Special Investigations with the Air Force, Office of Special Investigations, so the OSI. And so it was a good time. I enjoyed my time and I learned a lot.
And how did you find Okinawa? Every once in a while that's in the news. The Japanese apparently would just as soon that base be closed down.
Yeah, occasionally we would have to kind of look into that. And there was a presence there. I would say probably about 40% of the population there is either U.S. military or other dependents. And so it does cause some friction there sometimes.
And some of that's because the area around the base is built up quite a lot more than it was, say, 40 or 50 years ago.
Very much so, and it's some nice real estate there, too. So
that's what I hear. Lee, tell me, how did you get to The Mission Continues?
Well, I'll tell you, I got out in 04, and then, I went from, like, job to job, and then in about 08, I learned of The Mission Continues, believe it or not, through social media, Facebook. And then I learned of their fellowship program, which is one of their core programs. Applied for that fellowship. I did my fellowship in 2013. And after that, I continued my volunteer work with them as the first Minneapolis Service Platoon leader and started that platoon back in 2014 and 2015.
So The Mission Continues is the name of the organization. I hate to say it this way, but what is the mission of The Mission Continues?
Yeah, our mission is to redeploy veterans in the communities, to give them a new sense of purpose that they maybe once had when they were with their unit in the military, and to give them opportunities to engage with their communities, become citizen leaders, and to reconnect with those skills that they had in the service and make those skills applicable to where they live and learn.
So it's something of a transitional program from military service to civilian life again?
Very much so, yes.
And these fellowships, tell me what that's about.
Yeah, our fellowship program, we have four fellowship classes a year. The fellowships are 6 months in length. They're paid fellowships, so our fellows get monthly stipends. We ask that these fellows identify a nonprofit that they have a passion for, and they will serve 20 hours a week at that nonprofit for those 6 months. And during that time, they're also being challenged by our staff with monthly assignments about what are they going to do at the end of that 6 months. You know, they're going to further education or maybe get a job or a career. So when that 6 months is over, they have a better game plan about maybe what they can do moving forward.
So it gives them a little cooling off period between the service and going back to work as a civilian. And it also lets them spend some time volunteering, as you say. And they can pick any charitable foundation they want?
Exactly. Any nonprofit that has someone, a place to sit and someone to supervise them while they're there, that's all up for grabs. So.
Now, Lee, I understand that you give out, I don't know if it's annually, but you give out an award. Can you tell us about that and who it was named after?
Yeah, for our fellows, we give out a legacy award, and it's for Mark Weber. Mark Weber, we lost too soon, and I was actually in his fellowship class in 2013, Alpha class. And so for those fellows that stand out and are making the biggest difference, we award those to our biggest and brightest fellows.
And for our listeners, if you go to the Minnesota Military Radio website and up in the search device put in Lieutenant Colonel Mark Weber, you can hear the story of a magnificent officer who had a lot to say and a lot to teach us all the while he was dying of cancer. And he was an inspirational man, wasn't he?
He was, and still remains so for us. We still use a lot of his messages, whether it be print or video, for our fellows. And it still remains an inspiration for me and everybody else. So.
I'll have to stop over and see one of those videos. He was quite a guy. We're talking to Lee Freeman from The Mission Continues on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Lee, I understand that you the way you're organized, you have some service platoons. Can you explain that?
Yeah, the service platoon concept was born in about 2013, and it's really for those individuals that are looking to make an impact in their community. And a service platoon is comprised of veterans and non-veterans alike. And it's where we get together once a month around a community challenge and try to make a difference. For example, we have a Minneapolis and a St. Paul service platoon. The Minneapolis platoon has formed an operation or a partnership with the Phyllis Wheatley Community Center in the Near North community to help them with beautifying that facility, refurbishing it. And the St. Paul, likewise, is also working with the St. Paul City School and has been for the last couple of years.
So how often do these service platoons meet?
We have service projects once a quarter, and then we have support and social events also once a month. So we're meeting every month for some reason or another.
And can you give us some examples of these service projects?
Yeah, so our launch, we launched our partnership with the Phyllis Wheatley Community Center in November during our 11/11 campaign for Veterans Day. And that project involved building custom bookshelves and storage units for the facility that they desperately needed. We helped paint some of the walls and helped refurbish some of the classroom areas. And it's going to be an ongoing operation. We've coined it Operation North Advance, and we're going to be with Phyllis Wheatley for the next 2, 3, 4 years.
So there's plenty to do over there, and you're going to help them get everything squared away.
Yes, sir.
So are there some other examples? Have you painted some houses? What kind of things do you do?
Yeah, so like some of the other projects that we'll do, like over in St. Paul, we've helped refurbish some of their playgrounds for the school. We just had a winter coat drive for the kids this last weekend. And, the projects are really about what can we do and what can we help the school with that otherwise they might not be able to do. And, they tell us what their needs are and we help them.
So where do you find the projects or are all of your people out kind of looking around?
Well, the projects, each platoon has a platoon leader. And I am now a full-time staff member with the Mission Continues, and I work with that platoon leader to identify what the needs are. It could be meeting with community leaders or principals of schools and people in the city hall, that sort of thing. But you can learn more about it at missioncontinues.org, and you can click on Get Involved and find out there's events that we post there as well.
Now, Lee, how is the Mission Continue organized? Is it a nonprofit?
It is a national nonprofit, yes, sir.
And from what you've said, you have 300 to 400 fellowships per year going on, and so you must be doing some fundraising of some kind.
Yeah, we're always doing fundraising. We have folks that are dedicated to that, and we have corporate sponsors. Our Minneapolis Service Platoon, a corporate sponsor, we'd probably say is Target, and we're always looking for other corporate donations. A lot of them are private donations. We have a team of very bright people that help us try to identify those partners that want to connect with the Mission Continues and make a difference.
So you're always fundraising and you're always looking for volunteers.
Yes, sir.
And you said you can be veterans or non-veterans.
That's correct. For the service platoon program, anyone can join.
And so how many members do you have now?
In the Minneapolis service platoon, we have probably over 140 members. And then the St. Paul platoon, we have probably over 80.
So you've come a long way since you were on the show the last time.
Yes, sir.
And a lot of projects out there taken care of and a lot of volunteers. And you're full-time now.
I am full-time, yes. Yeah. So they brought me on full-time as a staff member last May. So I kind of volunteered myself into a position. So
you didn't know what you were getting into, did you?
Never.
You and Colonel Weber going through that fellowship together, and here you are today running the whole operation.
There you go.
All right, Lee, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to learn about some events coming up for the Mission Continues on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Lee Freeman from the Mission Continues, and part of what we were talking about was a fellowship program that the Mission Continues puts on, whereby our service members, when they're getting out of the service, can come in and spend 6 months in a fellowship program, working 20 hours a week to help their favorite charity. And that will help them transition from military life to civilian life. And Lee, have you had any feedback from any of your veterans that have gone through this fellowship program?
Yeah, we get a lot of feedback from our the people that have gone through our fellowship program. And I got one yesterday, and it was from a fellow, or her name's Danielle Corshane. She was an Air Force veteran. And she did her fellowship in Alpha 2016 class, so she would have started January of last year. And I got this yesterday, and it was pretty much hit me between the eyes. She says, at the beginning of my fellowship, I felt like I was a turtle hiding in my shell. Today, I feel like a complete rock star. This positive energy that has followed me is a constant. I am climbing steadily in personal life and in career. I have experienced positive waves before, but all in my life, I have never experienced it quite at this level. I've learned a bit about the law of attraction. If you seek it, so shall it be. So much to learn and experience still. I am having so much fun.
So she really gained from helping others and volunteering with those other charities. And by giving, she gained, didn't she?
She gained a lot, yes.
Well, it sounds like if that's representative of a lot of your fellows, that program's working pretty well.
And it is. And our next class is Charlie Class 2017. The deadline to apply is April 17th of this year. If you think you're eligible and you would like to apply, please do so at missioncontinues.org. Click Get Involved and read about the fellowship program.
And to be eligible, they just have to be transitioning from military service to civilian life.
Correct. They have to be fully separated, have served 24 months after 9/11, and that's it.
And they're not going to get rich on this program. It's just enough to pay for some food and put in 20 hours a week volunteering.
They'll get rich in other ways.
She got rich, didn't she?
Yes, sir.
She did very well. Now, you have service platoons organized in Minneapolis and St. Paul. Can you tell us about those once again?
Right. We got a Minneapolis service platoon and a St. Paul service platoon. The Minneapolis platoon has an event coming up on February 25th. And then the St. Paul platoon will have an event coming up on April 1st. It's our annual Run as One event with Team Red, White, and Blue. And so you'll be seeing links on those, again, at missioncontinues.org. Click Get Involved, and you'll find those.
So all kinds of information at the website, missioncontinues.org?
Correct, sir.
All right. And the run on February 25th, where's it going to be, and how far are you going to run them?
Well, the run will be on April 1st, but it'll be probably like a 5K, and so it'll hopefully be a little warmer in April. So
even old soldiers can handle that one.
Oh, yes. And even airmen.
And maybe some airmen, because we can walk that far, I think, and probably get that done.
That's right.
Okay, once again, for our military members and our listeners out there that know some service members that are getting out of the military, once again, where do they go for more information?
Again, go to missioncontinues.org, click Get Involved, and you'll see links to the fellowship and service platoon program.
And Lee, since you joined this, it's been pretty rewarding for you. You've gotten a lot out of it, too.
I have. I've gotten a lot out of it. I started off as a volunteer, and now I came on as a full-time staff member here in the Twin Cities last May.
And how does it feel to help all of these transitioning veterans and the organizations that you help with your charity work?
It's more rewarding than I can say, and sometimes I'm surprised I get paid to do it. So,
uh-oh, let's not tell the board.
That's right.
They'll be cutting your pay.
That's right.
Lee, we just got a few seconds left. Any final thoughts about the Mission Continues?
My final thoughts to any veterans out there would be, if you are thinking of wanting to make a difference, if you're trying to make sense of what's going on, reach out to us at missioncontinues.org and click get involved. And it helped me. I did my fellowship, and it helped redirect my sense of purpose to a point where I am today. So,
Lee, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom, so much.
This is Lee Freeman from the Mission Continues on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Tim Leonhardt. Tim, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio, and Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year to you too, Tom, and all the listeners too.
Tell me, 2016, was that a big year for the Minnesota Patriot Guard?
It's always a big year for us. You know, every year we do 400 to 500 missions, and we get to meet a lot of great people in the military, and we get to see them off and welcome them home. And unfortunately, we have the opportunity to be invited to funerals and be able to honor our heroes that have passed and present. So yeah, every year is a big year for us.
Now, Tim, a lot of times when we talk about a flag line. And for our listeners that haven't experienced or seen this, when the Minnesota Patriot Guard riders come to an event such as a funeral, what is a flag line and what do you do?
Actually, a flag line is just what it says. We all of our members bring in their own flags, and it's a 3x5 American flag, a flag pole, and we line the sidewalks and parking lots and driveways. And basically, when anybody that comes in and leaves the funeral visitation or the funeral itself, we're standing there at attention and in honor of their fallen heroes. Or sometimes it's a welcome home or even a deployment.
And as you always say, it's all about honor, dignity, and respect.
And respect. It is. You know, we owe so much to our military for what they do every day.
And the origins of the Patriot Guard goes back to, there was a certain religious sect that used to come to some of the military funerals and do some heckling and things. And
yes.
So you started out, or the Patriot Guard started out by some members on motorcycles showed up and they stood in between the hecklers and the service members so that they could be properly put to rest.
Yes, and yeah, that was an honor. It was an honor to do. We did it nonviolent. It was very respectful. We didn't want to disrupt the family doing their griefs, and you know, they're standing at a funeral at a burial site, and there's people heckling and stuff like that, and we didn't even want them to see what was going on. So you know, you get a bunch of big burly motorcycle guys holding a big flag, and you put them in shoulder to shoulder in between the family that's burying their loved one and our hero and the hecklers, and heck, even sound couldn't get through them.
And Tim, I think we've talked about this before, but unless our listeners have experienced it, it's hard to understand how emotional it is. But there was a family member of mine who died, and he was a Vietnam veteran, the Army, and it was a cold winter day, and I got out to the church before anybody, and there were already 20 Patriot Guard riders there, 10 on each side of the doorway, lining the walkway into the church. And they were all standing there with their vests on and their hat and their sunglasses and their flags. And yeah. And they all came to say goodbye to this Vietnam veteran that not a one of them had ever met.
No. And it's our honor. Whether or not we've met them or not, we realize, we understand what they've done protecting our freedoms. We wouldn't have the freedoms we have right now, you know, without them. There was always a bumper sticker that always stuck out to me, and I saw it only once. And it basically said, if you can read this, thank a teacher. If it's in English, thank a soldier.
That's, you know, a good one. That's a good one, Tim.
It really means what it says, you know. The military, the people that have stood up, and it's very few. You take the whole population, it's only like 1.5% of the whole population of the United States steps up to make sure that the rest of us can have the freedoms that we have today. You know, we owe them a lot. You know, and all we need to do is make sure that they get the dignity and respect and the honor that is due to them.
Tim, for our listeners, if they want to learn more about the Minnesota Patriot Guard, where's your website?
Our website is mnpatriotguard.org, and you go on there, and there's plenty of stuff to look up. We have our mission statement right up in front. There's members' documents. You can go in and see what we do. We're pretty transparent. If you're interested, you can sign up on there, and what we'll do is send you emails in to you that are relating to your where you are. And then
if you have time to go to the mission, then you just show up.
Yeah, you can just show up. We have a calendar on there. You can look at the calendar and see where we're going, where we're going to be. And if you want to come up there, just bring a 3x5 flag and tell them you're a new person during the briefing. And they'll get you pointed in the right direction and ask you to stand someplace. And
everyone's eligible to join. Don't have to be a veteran.
You know, you don't have to have a motorcycle. You don't have to be a veteran. All you have to have is a 3x5 flag and the heart to show honor, dignity, and respect to our military.
Very good, Tim. Thanks for joining us again today.
It's an honor.
This is Tim Leonhardt from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, Command Chief Master Sergeant Paul Kessler, Lee Freeman, Tim Leonhardt, Commissioner Larry Shelato of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about the University of Minnesota's residency program at the VA and learn about the 3M Hire a Hero campaign. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.